Army Corps, Pete Roberts, Phil Smith, the rural cap, and Paul Hubert for the Alaska Agricultural Ag Camp.
Jimmy Farmer.
And Jimmy Farmer. And on the main panels, Kearney and Farmer were promoted to farm. And I don't think they came across very well and pointed out essentially, the essential thrust was we're trying for more self-sufficiency. That's what they said, if you want to boil their statements down into a generalized statement. We're looking for more self-sufficiency within our state, more food production. And I thought they said it very well. And I thought they received very well.
I thought we were very well received down there in the comments. We circulated a lot, but I will say one thing that really kind of hit me between the eyes when we had breakfast with Assistant Secretary Cutler. They made a comment about our Homer operation down there. That more or less it just boiled down a pretty sleazy operation. our operation that we have down there at the university. Apparently he has been there. Yeah, he's been there. Remember the comment he made on that?
Wasn't what he was commenting on. He was commenting on the agricultural research in Alaska.
Well,
that was a general statement he made, and it wasn't directed at the state.
But we happened to have been talking about that Homer installation at a particular moment, and he made the comment that he had been there.
Yeah, but I don't think he was focusing on Homer. I think he was because, you know, he'd be very careful, even informal as we were there, to criticize the state operation. He was directing his attention at the federal ag research, and, you know, you run a symposium on the problem of research and research funding in this state and state general. And the answer that came up is USDA is not doing a good job. And the other answer that comes up is that the states have all moved ahead on their own. Ohio, Michigan, they've all moved ahead on their own. He wanted the head of the SEA to come up here, and we kind of talked that back and forth, and I've already indicated that I want to have a talk with the head of that particular SEA when I get back there.
Well, I hope that whenever any of those guys come up that we can at least have a sort of a meeting of some sort. Maybe get some of the other people that's involved in the other thing here. I did note that they've got land problems down there too, and it's similar to ours. Now, like I said, George, I thought we had problems, but that burned it. They had got worse problems than we got because they've kind of got into habits. It's hard to break habits. And if we can stop some of it before we get in the habit of it, I think we're going to be much better off in Alaska. I think we've got a golden opportunity up here when we're kind of in the beginning stages. Commercial agriculture, I think we can eliminate a lot of the problems before we ever get them that they are really up to their neck in, and I don't think they've got solutions to them down there myself. There's no way in God's green earth that they're going to solve some of the problems they've got without really doing some drastic things.
Got so many competing vested interests that it's very hard to make any changes. It's not going to put you back in. We want to.
Right.
I know you.
This is what I think that we need to all of our benefits if we do, and I'm officially saying that I think we should and get together on
that. That very generally would be the view as I've seen it, and I was very happy that you had a good group of people. Of course, I like them, so I thought they were a good group. But I thought not only were they, just because I like them, I thought they did well as representatives.
Well, I'll say this, we had a chance to do a lot of PR work down there, circulating among people there, and I believe each and every one of us had the opportunity to talk to different areas and different people, and I think we carried it across good. What I'm saying is I think it was very beneficial to Alaskan agriculture that we had that opportunity to go down there, and if we had another opportunity, I think that we should try to do the same thing.
At breakfast, we worked it all day.
Oh, yes. That was a sneaky one there, but it worked.
Right, man. Take advantage of the opportunity. As far as responsibility, it's probably pretty ranked.
Yeah, Yeah, this is what impressed me, and I was really flabbergasted that we had that opportunity, and I'm glad we did.
Matthew, was there any progress made on establishing segregation for us? Was that discussed at all?
It is sitting right beside
you. Well, as I remember, there were a lot of discussions.
I'm not sure it could be arranged, but there are closer ties that could be accomplished. Alaska's unique in the country. They don't have a position like the one I hold right now anywhere else. They used to, but they said there was another one, but I don't know.
I don't know of
there
it.
Isn't another.
Nobody identified it.
They don't quite, because this particular administration is all turned over, and they took a year and a half to fill this position, so they don't know what people in these positions do. I mean, in fact...
What do you do?
I'll say this for Jim. I think that we are very fortunate in having a man like him, and I think he's in our corner. Because I don't know of any harder working guy in all my life that I've ever seen. Because I mean, like, I've seen him from one end of this state to the other, and I think. And I'm appreciative of it, too.
Thank you. And what's more, they said it right there in front of Rupert Cutler. They all said, we want more bucks and more people. And he said, in effect, he said, you're not going to get it. Alaska's not going to get more money. Yeah, but they are going to get people like Dan Jones. You know, you've got his, what is it the sergeant used to say? Give your soul to God because I got your ass and you want to work it. But you've got people like Danny Jones. You've got people like Wayne Long. You've got you've got people with the knowledge and that can get the additional knowledge because that's what can be so valuable in those areas. And he keeps going back to the livestock industry. And when we went to the reindeer herders meeting, it was livestock problems we were dealing with. And they've got all of that accumulated knowledge that can point out some of the pitfalls that you should avoid when you're at this point in the state. Well, I think I've talked way too much.
No, I think, I think that particular conference then and there was very beneficial to Alaska. And anytime we can get the PR in for Alaska about George, any one of us around here, it's usually received pretty well. I think there's a certain amount of jealousy down there that we've got an opportunity to do it right and profit by their mistakes.
Let's see some of our PR for some of their lifestyles.
Yeah.
just by way of comparison, I didn't hear of anybody from Hawaii. Did you?
I didn't.
I was a little surprised. I guess you're right.
Well, are there any other comments on that? I'm open to them. In the meantime, we've got a couple of other items here that we've still got open here. I don't guess Nick will make it, but this subject is long-range ag policy. We have two other items, appraisals of leased land and continuing discussion of long-range agriculture policy for the state and informational ag land disposal across the state. Now, I guess we've kind of touched a little bit on each one of those subjects as we've discussed things this morning. The leased lands, I think, has everybody got a copy of the Rangeland Symposium December 5th, 7th, 6th, and 7th? The summary recommendations to our legislation. Has everybody got a copy of that here?
I'd like to go through that.
I was just going to bring that up and let you identify yourself for the record, and we'll start into it here.
I've got a copy of it.
And we'll just dig into that subject right now.
Okay, I'm Debbie Robertson from the Division of Lands. I'd like to just go through this thing. There's a few things that I disagree with. That we came up with. First one, preference right for previous and current leaseholders. Well, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. We can pretty much agree on that. In the future, we're talking about making it renewable on the basis of performance, which is how we're going to do that. I think that everybody's pretty much in agreement with it. The second thing, lease negotiated upon approval of a development plan done in cooperation with the Soil Conservation Service, a lottery system will be used if there are equally qualified applicants for the same lease. Well, I come into a real problem with the lottery system. Yesterday I had two gentlemen visit my office. Both of them want a grazing lease. Both of them have areas picked out. There seems to be no conflict on either area. But here they are, they picked them out. A lottery system isn't going to do them any good at all. What they need is an auction situation. So I don't agree with this lottery system at all.
Well, let me ask you. Maybe I misunderstood, but I thought maybe when we had two guys equally in thing and the same chunk of ground, then how do you determine which of the two gets the grant?
First you qualify them, so they're qualified.
Suppose the qualifications are all identical.
Mm-hmm. Well, normally, Pappy, the way it's done is one individual comes in and has actually picked out a piece of land, like George here, okay? And he's gone through all the motions that need to be done to get the sale initiated, or the lease area initiated to be put up for sale. And, you know, he's gone through all this work. What assurance is there for him that he's going to be qualified?
Well, when I said they were both qualified in the same sense, suppose both of them were trying to get the same land. This, I think, was my understanding on it. When you had two guys that were working for the same sale, the same piece of ground, the same deal, how do you determine which one gets it?
Well, that's just not a common situation at all.
The auction.
We can afford it.
Satisfied.
Okay, then if you throw an auction out there, then you're going to turn the thing loose to a bunch of other folks to speculate.
No, but you're going to qualify people.
And then go to the lottery.
You're going to qualify people for the auction. Yeah. Where in a lot of cases, there will only be one person qualified for the auction.
The only thing that disturbs me on an auction is you run things so that darn high that the guy that maybe normally could have done it, he's out of the picture. This is what scares me about auctions. The guy that's got all the bucks might be a lawyer.
That's true, but the guy's...
And I'm not throwing rocks at lawyers, that's not the point, but he just might be the one that's got... And we mentioned, there were some things mentioned about part-time farmers and people looking for tax write-offs, and this was mentioned down in Spokane also, as part of the problems they're having with the agricultural industry down there. If you got, what was it, some 40% of the production was actually people looking for tax write-offs, if I remember the figure. I don't remember the exact figure, but there's some hellaciously big amount of the farm production in the lower 48 was actually produced by people that were looking for tax write-offs.
But I think the same thing has happened through the lottery system in Delta, if the rumor's right. Isn't there somebody there who hired his manager and no, he did the thing, he ran through the lottery, and the actual owners are not even farming it themselves, so they're not doing it for some other reason than farming it.
I just might say something here. We're talking about promoting the livestock industry, right?
Right.
And the person with the money is going to be able to make the ends meet. And so when you're talking about promotion, you're talking about money. And if the guy who can afford the lease, the high lease rent, well, there's a good chance that he's going to be able to make the operation go versus someone who doesn't have the money to do it.
You're opposed to any lottery system of any sort?
I'm not opposed to a lottery system for, say, ag interest rights. You're talking about the small farmer, too. Well, the state has, they sell small ag parcels. Almost every sale we have is selling small ag parcels. And that pretty much provides for the small farmer. And that is a lottery system.
Well, then you're in the right program. You're saying that's not a good policy.
I don't think so. How do you feel, Jim?
Well, I think there are advantages and disadvantages. If the goal is just to get people qualified and financially able to pull a development off, whether it's agriculture based or whatever, I think it can still be accommodated by a lease. It just means that once you qualify the person, part of your objective is to find somebody with enough capital behind them to be able to pull it off. And if he was bidding against somebody else at an auction, that means it's just more of available capital would be going into getting the right to do it in the first place.
One factor about that came up previously in Delta part-time rancher. I assume would have a smaller number of animals, but it's able to put his animals on the field and open them. Yeah, but I mean, if we're talking about, you know, finding some way for the part-time rancher to make a go, but there is a way to go without having protection in the law.
But the second part of that, item two there, I think what maybe is, the first sentence I thought maybe colored the second part. It says, leasing will be negotiated on approval of a development plan done in cooperation with soil conservation. And my thinking, my thoughts on it was that once you've just established that you end up with maybe two or three people equally qualified and they're all working the same thing, then how do you determine which one I'm getting a particular chunk of ground? I thought maybe that's what the second sentence was there.
That's exactly what you're saying. The only reason I prefer an option is because the person who really initiated it, who really wants it, will pay for it. Okay? Wants to have to be qualified. Now, they didn't give me incentive, a long-range incentive, to actually pull it off.
Same time, there might be, the price might go up considerably, and the money that he has to pay for the land might be money that he would have rather than be able to put into his equipment. That he had to eventually, because he wanted it badly enough, put it into the land. But if these three people are equally qualified, does that open the lottery up for 10 people, or is the lottery just among those three?
Well, I think we've established here the leases are negotiated on the development plan and so forth, and we've arrived at a specific number of people, maybe one, two, maybe three or more, maybe 10 came out of it. But you have a certain number of people. Now, how do you determine out of more than one person, how do you determine who's going to get the lease? So
well,
the lottery...
At this particular time, for instance, in my case, and in the other fellow's case that we mentioned, and I would think as each case comes up, I've applied for this particular piece of land. No one else has.
Well, then you're automatically, if your plan's approved, then you're the man.
Okay.
Isn't that the way it is?
No. Because you can't... I can't directly negotiate this with George. I just can't do it.
Why not?
Because it's not fair.
This is the thing, you see, I'm being held in abeyance. Any development I want to do is being held in abeyance until someone else wants it. And then immediately I enter into a conflict, and then...
Well, wait a minute now. As that symposium came out, the notice for applications, the advertisement for applications would go out at the time of the notice of disposal, right? Okay, so... apparently, nobody would have a chance to make an application treatment, all right? Okay, after that time, if you're the only person who has submitted an approved development plan,
the only one at the auction in the lottery,
then you would be the only one.
Right. Well, at this time, the land isn't up for disposal, so I'm just working on the premise that it is going to come up to that. Now, at this point, I'm putting a lot of energy into getting that land. It's not up for disposal yet, but when it does come up for disposal, a lot of the reason that it is up for disposal is because of the energy I have put into it. Now, I stand to lose a lot. If, you know, I will have lost all my energy, and somebody will have gained from the fact that I put that energy into making that land available. So,
Fabio, if I want to negotiate a lease with George, I can only do it for 5 years. You know, under state law. Otherwise, it has to go to public auction.
Well, here's a question. If you negotiated 5 years, and you have 5 years to get a preference for it,
you could. Mr. Chairman, get a preference for it. What does 5 years do to George?
It only gives me
also, you can only have a certain size lease, right? Because you can't negotiate over a certain $20,000.
But you got something. Yeah, I want to say something about this idea of a qualifying man on a 20 basis. Because I'm standing right here and I've got something that I'm developing it, and I entered into that with some money. So when they gave me the land, that's the basis the guy's got. If he's got a land, he's got something good, like 55 years. build on that from scratch and build a good operation. But if, you know, you don't have to have a lot of money, you're going to do it, buy it all right now and develop it, you know, in a couple of years. You've got the land to work with, you can build up. I've homesteaded out west, and I started with nothing here and put a pack on my back. I've got great land now and buildings on it and machinery on it. And there's a lot of, once a man has some land, you can go to a different agency and say, look, I've got ag land and good land, and the SAS people and other people through this point, he can go ahead and get some financial help. And there's got to be more state programs for that financial help for people with the land. They're going to come. So if you get land to the right people, they're going to do something for you if you don't have a lot of money.
Let me ask you a question, Jim. We've got 5-year limits right now on the site. Suppose we change that to 10 years. Does that change the picture at all?
Well, the lease, it's for all types of land leases to start with. It's just not crazy. It's the 5-year lease. Any kind of land lease. I don't know,
well,
what is 10 years?
Suppose we specified it,
10 years wouldn't do much because you've got to have, it's really got, if you're going to put your heart and soul into it, it's something that you've really got to look at a much longer picture than that. I had in a 5 years ago, I bought a lease at the auction they had. It was an historical family. It was a 27.5-year renewable option. I got that lease, and I could project 50 years into the future as to the fact that I was secure with that land. But with a 10-year lease, it wouldn't give you much security. The minimum, the ASCS regulations for putting the life of a fence line would be 10 years. The end of 10 years, it's not very long.
Well, that's what I was thinking about.
And there's no security.
Because in a sense, you've got to start over expensive in 10 years.
Yeah, that's true. If you could have some security that it was a renewable type of thing, yeah, I would say so. You had a renewable option, and that at the end of 10 years your lease rate wasn't going to go sky high because of something.
I'd like to say someone qualifying on a lottery, you're talking lottery, or you're talking auction. No one here has ever thought that we're trying to develop an agriculture industry. So if two people come in looking for pretty much the same piece of land, they're both really qualified, and all in all they're the same, why does the state say, okay, let's negotiate, let's throw in a little more land and let's try to set them both up? In other words, you got two good people, why try to limit one, you know, kick one out the door, favor the other one? Why not try to promote both of them?
Suppose you don't have that much land in a particular area there, ain't you?
Well, I think if there isn't that much land there, then if you sat down and talked to them, probably they might want to work something out, because that way it'd be to both your benefits. Because one of them's going to lose 100%. If they go the other route, they might settle for a split in what's there, or they might, you know, you might be able to work something out.
But you still can't negotiate.
Well, that's the problem under the legislation. You can't negotiate.
No matter how you go, you're going to be wrong.
But you don't want to lose
somebody's ass.
You know,
but you got some good people with land available.
Fred's got a 2,000-acre razor piece in Bay Harbor. I don't know if anybody knows where that is. After Seward, off Resurrection Bay, over there. On the coast.
Oh, down yonder somewhere.
Down yonder. It's a real nice lease, but we negotiated with him. And we had to pull a few wires to do it, but we did. He's only got 5 years. So he doesn't want to.
See, I'm gambling. I'm spending a lot of money. I spent a lot of time money on that. Just gambling. Just keep going in.
Now, when he expires, what we probably do, or what we could do, is have a long-term auction, long-term lease by public auction, because there's Fred. You wouldn't be able to.
Well, let me ask you a question. Just throw this in for what it's worth. Suppose land did take a gamble like he's doing down there. And it looked like he might lose that lease. What if he was compensated for the losses that he had?
And the other guy pay him for it?
The other guy pay him for what he's got in that thing. If there was some stipulation in there that if a guy lost his lease, that whoever got the lease would have to compensate him, or some compensation would come about. Would this make it a little bit better? I don't know how in the heck we'd do it.
A lot less competition on an open auction, because most people wouldn't be able to afford that, turn it into an economic operation.
I even think that's been done
That's
a standard practice.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Well, is that a standard practice that we've got here in the state now? Is it by regulation or what?
I don't think so. It's done on residence.
Well, what would be wrong with something like that? I mean, once a guy's got it and he's working on it, and he's put this blood and sweat in it, he's entitled to some compensation the way I see it.
I didn't know on a 5-year lease that you were capable to build.
You aren't supposed to.
For maybe just that reason.
Well, suppose if he was allowed to do it on a 5-year lease, and then at the time of the end of that thing, and they come up again, maybe we could set something up along those lines there, that he's entitled to compensation for what he's put in there if he's going to lose it. It might eliminate part of our problem of a guy not being able to see further than 5 years.
That's another problem with 5-year leases. You want a going cattle operation, you tell them anything on cattle, you can't do anything else. I expect them to get their winnings.
I think that we item 6 down here might allow some development other than just rangeland on it.
Well, that's a beginning. That's a beginning, I think. But number 6. But I think it has to go a lot further and state that the sale of agricultural products is a valid industry or development. And building buildings to live in, or a barn to store hay in, or some kind of, you know, if we're talking about wanting to develop a cattle industry or an industry, we've got to have the buildings and the facilities that go along with it.
This is my thinking, too.
I really empathize with what you're saying, George. Me too. I know what you're talking about, but I was talking yesterday with Nick Carney, and something that he could probably, you know, think down a lot better than I can, but it's the area of making a distinction between grazing and such and ranching. Accomplish grazing in ways which do not involve the building up of the ranch with all its building all the ranch sheds. And, for example, the Fox River that's down in Cashmere Bay, that's not designed for people to live out there, so fences or anything or sheds, but it provides grazing. The more you get into ranching and such where you can specifically where you want to live and have lots of different buildings and machinery and stuff, then you really need, I think the rancher, the guy who needs to have real assurance that he's going to be able to keep that, either through buying it or perpetual lease or something.
See, and, right now, the state has to answer the question then, with the limited amount of ag land and grazing land, how do we best utilize that, either to develop the industry or provide places for people to live in a ranch type setting? And so perhaps we're talking about sort of two areas of policy, one for ranching and one for grazing.
Isn't ranching and grazing some synonymous?
Well, we're talking about setting up a permit system for grazing people who want to go out and graze, and that's fine. I think that's great. Everybody's discussed it. It's a good idea. We're talking about putting an amendment into the statute under permits, including grazing. Everybody I've talked to thinks that's a great idea. But now, well, I think we're really trying to focus on ranching right now and what we're going to do about it.
Right. I thought we were talking about grazing leases.
Now, well, I know Nick gets all upset when I say grazing leases. He wants it for ranching leases or whatever, but...
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, I think we have to keep in mind that there's a real distinction, and if it's a ranch, if we're talking about development of ranches, that is a different type of disposal.
Uh-huh.
Or at least
it is,
make
but
sure that we know
how do you dispose of it? And that's
a good question.
At this time, the grazing leases that are already in ownership, actually, the lease has been transferred. How long is Mickey Joyce's lease?
Until year 2000.
Long-term leases that were let several, well, up to 6-8 years ago, they're being sold for phenomenal sums, even though the guy doesn't own the land. The state still owns the land, but the right to use that property is being sold for
like a quote,
almost
25,000 acres in Homer adjacent to your grazing lease are on the market right now.
4
sections.
And that's speculation. That's wild speculation. And yet, for me to want to go in there with an earnest desire to build a ranch, I can't even be assured that if I build a building, that I could sell it for anything. I might have to tear it down.
And maybe we need to do something like we did on the egg price land. Particularly in there, that the only value of that is what's been put in.
Well, that's all that this guy's selling to. It's the
grazing rights.
Selling grazing rights, but I mean, really.
State grazing lease. You know, all the state ever sees is an assignment of interest.
Well, somebody is marketing the state grazing.
It is on the market.
That's like selling these fishing lines.
Yeah, identical.
How do we stop that? I mean, that doesn't seem right to me for some reason.
Happy did that when, didn't that situation, they didn't have required development or anything?
No, there's nothing we can do about that.
You're kind of stuck with that. Okay, but this is what we're trying to prevent in the future, though.
Right,
this is what we're looking at in the future.
I was thinking that when we went to a ranching operation, what you do is you'd actually delineate an area out, and as part of the lease package, you'd sell the ag rights on a certain area where the guy actually had the ag rights. Farmstead, there is farm, silo, whatever he needs, you know. And it would be a package, and I think it should go to auction. People would bid on that package, actual ranching package.
You know, the allocation of resources here, I don't think we really have enough land to sell 25 acre ranches or commitment for everything. We would assume we're out of land. Perhaps we need to have sort of a coordinated combination of things where you have areas for open grazing, which would be available to a number of people, and then your ranch where you have your buildings, your stands, and perhaps your hay field, where you put up your winter food. Those could be smaller units, 100 acres, 200 acres, a 200-acre farm, you've got 50 acres, say, pasture, 50 acres, stuff like that. And then the availability of grazing in the vicinity, then you might have to go out and graze without getting larger.
You can only do that to the amount of people, though. You've got to figure out how many animals, what units on that land, and you've got to figure out how many head each person's going to want to run and economically feasible. And that's the limit how many places you can put around a grazing area. Otherwise, you can overgraze and have overgrazing.
That's right. But if the state would manage,
but you'd be able to provide for more people with that.
Yeah,
that's right. Somewhere. You've got some studies behind you recently. Grazing policy, pollution policy. I can't help but think that there aren't, with all of these questions, and
it seems to me that it all comes down to the homestead. Back down to this, really what we're after is the basic homestead law opened up again. And that's
Bill 500.
there's so many people that jump on the bandwagon then that what can I say? But really, it seems to me that a lot of the type of legislation that I would hope for would come out of the homestead law, whereby you had to prove up, you had to do certain things in order to get what you want.
Well, I don't think we can solve that problem right here with this group in the time that we have. But that brings up item 10 that makes. Seems like item 10 becomes more important.
Ah, yes, that's what I want to talk about.
Happy. I wonder if while we're in this area of the leases, item 3, where we have the open grazing, pretty closely related. And after your last week, I did a little bit of research on some leases. Would this be appropriate time to
speak? Yes, indeed, it would.
I've got a memo I wrote to you and Pat, along with a copy of the memo I wrote and discussed with Nick Carney about the grazing reserve concept that you successfully done. I have a limited number of copies here.
Could you run some copies of this off on there and for everybody to have a copy of it to change in here?
This is
okay.
Copy of the one Nick.
This is like for a situation like up in Delta where an example would be a bunch of people need strings of pack horses in there. You want to let them go along the hillside.
Well,
not so many people in.
Should we wait till we get the copy?
Oh, okay.
Or should we start
But anyway, getting back to the item 10, I think the more we discuss these things, the more I come right back to the board situation that may be the answer to
problems that Deb is addressing here. The more I think about it, the more I think that thing becomes more and more important.
I think that's a great idea for some. If the board, the board can be set up and you can actually, to qualify people is what you're looking at. And to get the information, the rangeland information. They'd have the responsibility of, once the rangeland's identified, actually getting the Soil Conservation Service out there to do the survey, getting all the information back, evaluating it, and then qualifying people or asking the Division of Lands to hold this sale.
Yeah.
Or it would be a proposal, I guess, to the Division of Lands or whoever the landowner was.
Well, the more I listen and the more notes that I take, the more I keep coming right back to that thing. And I hate the damn regulatory agencies, and I hate the bureaucrats, and I hope we wouldn't develop something into that same category from it, but it seems like that might be one of the answers to some of the problems that we're addressing.
Well, they would
might expedite them.
Somebody would have to qualify farmers. I mean, the only person I mean, I don't want to be involved, because I'm involved with these people that I know. You know? Of course, I want to give to Fred, you know.
Yeah,
but,
I understand where you're coming from. Ed, do you have any comments on that?
I'm just personally against qualifications. It's a very difficult situation to be in. Some of the lotteries are not qualifications. You got to develop the plans on new growth and see when you're doing it right.
I mean, you make the development plan and give it to the guy who wins.
It's required that we maintain the use of it. Yes.
Then you get into the situation at home where everybody, ours got 2,500 acre grazing waste down there, and probably doesn't have one cow on it in the last 10 years.
Well, that's right. You have to have a minimum schedule of development or else you get pulled onto it. And if you put all your grazing type disposals on it, how many numbers that you have to be able to carry, you can't pay your loan right now.
So the board will determine what the plan should be.
Perhaps the Division of Agriculture, together with the Division of Lands, could make those decisions. Hopefully, we'll be making annual unit determinations as a matter of course.
Well, let's just...
There's some problems with that, though, you know, Pappy, because this, as number 10 is set up right now, it's, there's a possibility that this board could deal with other landowners besides the state on management of rangeland. And if you sit it back down into part of the state administration, then they lose that capability. And I think the option offered by being able to deal with, well, the National Park Service or BLM up on Seward with those ranger people, for example, or anywhere else down here, BLM leases, you know, I think that option should be left open.
I think what we were trying to address was a statewide thing rather than an area.
Trying to
accomplish a statewide policy rather than a section or an area. God knows the state's so damn big and it's got so many problems. I think that was one of the basic reasons for item 10 there, was to address the whole state. You might end up with little sub-deals in there that would address areas. I don't know what it would have to be.
Or landowners.
Yeah.
I don't know, I like the idea of the board reviewing it just because I don't think the department has the resources.
Well, of course, it's capable of it. See, you're speaking from terms of just the flat-out administration of whatever is, but the possibility that a board like this might deal with what could be, too, or what might be right around the corner. And,
I don't want to see a board made up of state employees or federal employees in government. I'd like to see a board made up of the actual people, or representing the people.
Well, I think that was the intention of that proposal, really.
Because the board that's made up of government, well, the government's the one that's giving you the land, they're the one that's acting on all the regulations. And if they also control the board, you've got a one-sided thing. A board made up of the citizens would be a balance against, you know,
the present board is three
member on the board from every area in the state that consolidated agriculture. You know, because every area is a little bit different in their style and their
presence, presently what they're working on.
Kind of like the fisheries board, you know.
Yeah, this is mostly area-wise.
Well, I think that was one reason we suggested increasing the size of it to 5. That would add 2 more areas, 2 more major areas on the board.
And the comments by telephone that they would give of the board being someone that would be elected by people who are involved, but also in addition to that board, there would be persons from the districts advising. So it would have to be a greater representation.
We think that the board is doing that.
I was thinking more of the board setting up the, well, with the assistants and everybody else. Maybe just setting up the actual plan.
What you call advisors, and this seemed like the reason.
Yeah, this seems like the advice is what we should go with, and then you give it to us, resource division agriculture, to go with, you know, technical expertise to plan.
Yeah, weight is not as far as the field, really, your court system. We serve that function. If you have clear requirements.
Well, the board would be a place for an appeal, too.
A place for an appeal.
We
would
have a lot of functions.
Before it would reach the court. In other words, the Department of Natural Resources would make a decision, would perhaps say, you're not living up to your requirements. The person who appeals to the board, if the board still didn't agree with them, why would they be taking the place?
That's like the board would be.
You could have a 5-year, you know, in 5 years, Fred can come back and say, okay, this is what I'm done, and I'm good for another 10 years, you know? And that's what the board would come. Yeah, you can
head up to what you think. Back to regulate. You want to provide yourself with what you want. That's right. That's what you said. Putting them into the situation which they find themselves.
I've got a specific, a certain tie to this land that I've been working for today. And I could leave, settle down a lot of it before the auction, as I see it. How I'm going on in the auction deal is that Steve Roberts got by on it, another guy got by on it in the last auction. The neighbors realized that he put these parts sold at that intersection, and they didn't try to price up around money. You can probably have to pay top dollar if they do the price up. Well, it was. And that's the kind of thing that I would have to go on down there. They kind of faith and mercy. It's a hard way. It's a hard throw to hoe. Either way, you know, I would prefer seeing it by application. I know I placed the application. I placed it first. It's the only, it's a fair way, because I was the one who said, well, would it be fair to me, though, if I wanted to do it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. I know the problem. I mean, I can understand the problem.
The only thing that the way to go would be, if there's an area to be leased, but I'll think of the most for a simple search.
I see. Yeah, now there you go. Then you can't manage your resource by qualifying.
Okay.
Well, there's the mining model where a guy can go off the bus every day and try to save it and then file it.
Well, this is the way, in a way, the lottery system might be good.
But even so, even after you prospect it on a while and you try to get a bat on it, then that's where you get in.
They adjudicate it. They decide whether it's economically feasible to operate.
And there comes in our mold thing that we're talking about. That might be the answer to it right there. We're kind of running into here. I don't think we're making progress. But if anyone would care to go to lunch and we'll come back and continue say at 2 o'clock, so that we can hear what anybody's deal was in the discussion first.
Well, maybe we could set it on the meeting. You really want to establish a favorite habit this week.
that's just like that.
It's a good source to have, or a good source to get the news out.
Well, maybe we ought to make sure that we have like that.
I didn't pick up the all the meetings so far. That way we're putting our money back
you know, a fisherman, they employ a kind of a sales tax on themselves.
Yeah. That's the part of it.
Well, but the National Thousand Association voted the 1%
right or wrong.
Somebody's going to belly up. It's like building that wall there. That guy, when he went belly up, he laid a line of stone down there. The next guy takes up, he starts with the second line. Even if you guys say, for example, in your operation, and say you did develop certain parts of it, and it might sound kind of hard to you guys, if you develop part of it, the next guy comes along, he's not going to have to go dig his feet to get it going.
So I need the right operation to go.
Well, this is what I'm talking about, but at least part of it's been developed.
Private subdivisions.
It's just, this is what we're after. But let's make it. I mean, Anchorage is going to have half the population here one of these days. In fact, they have it now. And they got some beautiful farmland around here. But hell, they're building houses and they're building condominiums and hotels and motels. And they're taking more farmland out. And I was set up there at a meeting with the Wausau there one day, and that's what we were talking about. But he's a point theory in his office. And they had a burrow kick. Because he was worried about the tax stuff that they were going to lose in the borough. And the guy hadn't did his homework, because there is money available in the state right now that compensates the borough or any local governmental entity for farmland that they can't tax at a high rate. We subsidize the borough or municipal assembly by paying them the money that they would have gotten taxed.
This is the kind of money that the city of Homer turned down three different because the city would not be able to drive taxes.
Well, this is the point. This is already in. It's working now. We appropriate money each year that goes to a municipality for the loss of taxes.
You're not going to know if that pertains to parkland too, in the city, or rather than that year round.
No, this is farmland, ag land. This can go the same way with rangeland.
Well, I'd like to see agricultural requirements.
This is all part of the program to make develop the identification of these lands. We've got to identify the land first.
Personally, I see that this grazing land that you mentioned earlier, probably trying to sell pictures without realtors. You're going to have a problem with this, or you would have more of a problem selling that if you did have agricultural situations first.
Well, he could not sell unless he did it under the table for any more than what ag or, in this case, his breeze rights or work.
Well,
in other words,
what are they worth? He can sell it for
anything. I said unless it's under the table. And to me, I consider it legally, in a sense, wrong.
You have to unearth the table.
Yeah, there's a piece of ag right land down for sale in Homer. It's bought in 1970. It's bought for $60,000 somewhere.
Well, 1978.
So,
what
1978
is
not
the
facility?
Ag rights.
That's not
not being used.
It's just not being used.
Can you rescind that lease?
No, because it was a sale by us.
The state has the first buyback option, you know, but we have, you know, one of our leases pay $96,000, but I have the option to sell it. You know, Eric Thomas has another situation, I believe, that he bought $68,000, so he had
Well, I think that if more land becomes available for people, and that's another issue, to expedite land availability, that should cut down that way the prices.
Well, if they're ridiculous.
And I think the rule.
$9,000 land being used to very common cost, maintain $6 a year. And because of the setback, so if I don't, he said, now something drastic, right? Certainly, agricultural use, if people are willing to pay $9,000 for that land, and you can only get $60.
$9,000 per acre was the value of the land. The government set the lease rate per year for acre at $60.
Yeah.
And that's all the owner's got.
Yeah.
And that's less than 1% per year.
Well, a country like Switzerland, the company has $60. You have to put money like this, all types of their costs.
By that time, I think we'll have more of our ducks lined up, and we'll have more